we don't have to, as a society, be constantly consuming energy and creating carbon at the scale that we're doing it now. So the main message of the report is there are ways that we can be innovating to get around this. And it wouldn't be a worse world or a less exciting place to live, and we wouldn't reduce any of these people's qualities of life. In fact, if we don't act now, we're in danger of doing just that.
My name is Charlie Timms, and we're here for the Damos podcast in Potter's Fields, next to the Greater London Authority building in central London. And I'm joined today by Molly Webb, who is one of the co-authors of a new report, which is published by Damos and Nesta, entitled The Disruptors. We're sitting here surrounded by different types of consumption. There are boats going up and down the river. There are planes flying overhead, which are taxiing to land at Heathrow. We've got a helicopter over there. There are cars everywhere. And so I guess it's kind of appropriate that today we're going to discuss how we move from being a society consuming a vast amount of carbon to...
consuming lots of energy.
Consuming large amounts of energy and producing lots of carbon. To a low carbon economy. Who are the disruptors?
People who are starting businesses which aren't just about technological solutions. We wanted to look at business models, we wanted to look at behavior change, we wanted to look at public sector innovation. Low carbon lifestyles are something that we're aiming to achieve as a society, because we have targets in this country to reduce our carbon emissions to 60% of 1990 levels by 2050. So what we all need to do is reduce the amount of carbon we use every day in our homes, in our offices, in our energy production, distribution, consumption, all around.
Right, and so the disruptors are people who, by innovating, make that easier for us to do.
We identified four different principles for low-carbon innovation that we think the disruptors exemplify. So these principles for low-carbon innovation can be used for both policy and practice. What the disruptors are doing is thinking about... they're thinking about innovation in different ways. We used the definition of disruptive innovation from Clayton Christensen's work, which means that it's all about identifying new consumers, identifying new business models, and reaching new markets. That is...
Have you got an example of that?
The best example, of course, it hasn't done much to contribute to global to reducing our carbon footprint, but is low-cost airlines. So a whole group of people who have never been able to travel before now can. We no longer expect to be able to have assigned seating or those wonderful airport meals that we might... airplane meals that we might have enjoyed in the past. And it's changed. The business model as a result is very different. They carry less fuel on flights, for example. So in the background is a whole different approach to air travel. That is one example of disruptive innovation. We would hope that not all of disruptive innovation will contribute so much to global warming, but do the opposite.
I was wondering, maybe you could give an example of a particularly... The kind of person who's doing this and how they're innovating and so what's their story?
We didn't find one type of person or one type of business, which is actually really encouraging. DIY Kyoto are the three people who built the Watson, and
so they're like a company.
They're a company, and the Watson is their gadget, which sits in the home and sort of monitors your energy use around the home. They're explicitly building in a social networking part of their gadget, so that people can upload their energy consumption to a website, share information with their friends, share tips. So it's about thinking about what really makes a difference to people, how they really change their behavior, not just what technologies they're using. What we also found was that the technologies or the gadgets weren't only... weren't the things that were going to make the only difference. It was really about having a sustainable business model, having consumers get engaged in the product. One of the main messages of the report is not that we found the only eight people who are doing low carbon innovation in a way that is going to allow us to remake our societies in a new way. We picked eight people. There could have been 800. There could have been 8,000. I think there is lots of innovation going on. What we have to learn to do is support it, link it together, create the kind of tipping points we need. We don't just have, you know, a behavioral challenge or a technological challenge. We have both together. And in order to get the kinds of new infrastructures, new systems, new business models in place that will sustain us, we started to look at a few disruptors in detail in order to pick out the kind of principles that they practice to get low carbon innovation.
Hello, my name is Charlie Timms, and I'm discussing low carbon innovation with Molly Webb, who's a researcher at the think tank Demos and is one of the co-authors of The Disruptors, which is a new report published by Demos and Nesta. So is the government currently supporting The Disruptors, and could it do a better job?
So when government supports innovation, they tend to think of that as technology, and they tend to think about supplying inputs for that innovation to happen. For example, they want to create more graduates who have the skills to go out and build new technology, or they want to fund more science, fund more ideas. How do we get more ideas into the market? What they tend to not think about as much, because it's more difficult to do, is the demand side. What are the needs? Who is going to be using these technologies? How do we kind of match up? We have a lot of low-carbon solutions out there. We have a lot of low-carbon technologies in the world. They aren't being used. We have, you know, lots of old technologies that, if used, could be lower carbon than some of the more modern technologies we're using. For example, in Barnsley, where they're doing biomass, and they've created a whole local industry using waste wood from parks and things that will supply that new industry. So we just wanted to break down the assumptions that you need a brand new techno fix in order to solve these problems.
So thanks very much, Molly.
Thank you.
It's probably worth saying that this report was also co-authored by Rebecca Willis and James Wilsden. It's available for free from the Demos website. It's also available from the Nesta website. I think it might be on their homepage at the moment. Thanks very much for listening. My name is Charlie Timms. There'll be another podcast next week, and hopefully we can find a suitably exotic location in which to do it.